Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, pregnancy-focused chiropractor, Dr. Elliot Berlin. My guest today is a restaurateur from Vancouver, British Columbia. She is now a mother of two, but had a very challenging journey getting there. We'll talk about ectopic pregnancy, miscarriage, a dramatic epidural experience, unplanned cesarean birth, and her healing home birth experience. Stephanie Devlin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I mean, gosh, I thank you in advance for sharing all these difficult things that you experienced. I'm so glad we're talking to you on the other end of it when we can sort of both look back and say, wow, okay, we're here. But, you know, a lot of people are going to be in the middle of it. And I think it's nice to hear from somebody who plowed through and made it to the other side. So let's jump right in. Where are you from originally?
I am born and raised and still live in Vancouver, Canada.
You don't really have the accent. I always point that out. I don't know why. What's that about?
Okay, yeah. So I feel like the East Coast has more of an accent, but the West Coast is not as strong. So I don't know. Maybe that's why.
Well, I'll take what I can get. I do believe you're in Canada. Hey. Okay, restaurateur. Tell me, is this what you always wanted to do?
Oh, no. I actually went to university for social work, like youth work. And when I finished school, I went into the field and it just didn't feel quite like what I wanted to do. And all through my younger years, I was a server at a restaurant. So I just sort of moved up through the ranks in that restaurant and decided, you know what, I actually just love restaurants. Why am I trying to stop doing restaurants and go into youth work when this is really kind of my passion? So I bought out the partner, one of the partners in the restaurant, and ended up buying out the second partner about a year ago. So it's now fully mine and I love it. It's exactly what I want to be doing.
Okay, for one thing, you said about an oot, so now I believe it. but also, what kind of restaurant?
It's a franchise. It's called Brown's Social House. So it's kind of American, Canadian cuisine with a little bit of kind of Asian fusion and great cocktails, good wine, good fun.
You had me there. Good pitch. So I wonder how often a server just buys out the chain.
I'm the first one in my franchise, so there's one other person that has done something relatively similar, but didn't start as sort of low on the food chain as me, but I actually started as a host in this franchise, so I have been with the company since I was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I've been around for a long time, and it just kind of felt like the right time when I made the big leap, and yeah, I'm happy I did it.
I like how you said food chain.
Yeah.
Okay, so restaurateuring is usually hard work.
It is. I mean, it's been a long journey. I worked my butt off for the first like 5 years that I was in the restaurant industry seriously as assistant manager, general manager, and early ownership. And then when I had my first son, I took my first sort of step back and it was really difficult to do it because I was such a workaholic for so many years that I really had to focus on not focusing on the restaurant.
Yeah, I can imagine it becomes part of your identity.
It does. Yeah. You know, the second you wake up till the second you turn your phone off before bed, it's constantly there. So, yeah.
I guess that was your first baby.
It was my first baby. Yeah. I still think it's my first baby. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But now you have other babies. And as we mentioned in the intro, it wasn't an easy role to get there. So parenthood, motherhood, was that something you thought about as a kid, as a teenager?
I always wanted to be a mom. Like I was that kid at the playground that was playing like house and I was always the mom. And yeah, I always knew I wanted to be a mom. So that was never a question.
And how did you meet your husband?
My husband and I met at summer camp.
Oh my goodness. How old?
We met as campers. I mean, when we met, my husband's 4 years older than me. So I was like 12 and he was 16. And we were just friends for quite a while. And then we became staff together. And then that's sort of when our journey together began. But yeah, summer camp. I don't know if there's a cuter story. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I met my wife in summer camp.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Like 20 couples.
Yeah.
Slightly older, we were staff, but also teenagers, and yeah, we got hitched, and here we are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we got married at our summer camp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're still together.
We met at summer camp, and then we went back engaged, and then we went back married the next summer. But we didn't want to have kids right away, so we stopped going back. It seemed it was going to push us forward somehow. That camp had magical powers.
Okay. It does have magical powers.
Summer camp is just like a different, I don't know. It's a different element universe. It's where fairy tales can happen.
Absolutely.
And also where you can get your front tooth knocked out by a tennis racket. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Story for another day.
Yes. So met the hubby pretty young. Did you guys talk about kids? Is that something he also dreamt about at the park?
Yeah, he always wanted kids as well. I don't even think it was ever like a real conversation we had. It was just, of course, we were going to have kids.
Do you each have siblings?
I have an older brother. He's 21 months older than me. And my husband has an older sister. They have different moms, but she is 12 years older than him. So, yeah.
He's like an only child.
He's basically an only child. Yeah.
In terms of cohort, at least. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
And you're both the youngest.
We are both the youngest, yeah.
The babies. So it makes sense. The babies want to be parents. Okay. How soon after you got married, did you plan out having kids or it just happened?
It was planned. So we got married about 7 years ago and we had already decided we wanted to start trying a few months before we got married.
Wait, you decided a few months before you got married or you started trying a few months before you got married?
We decided and started trying.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, you guys don't waste any time.
No, I know. And I just didn't really care about being pregnant at my wedding, but I wasn't in the end. But we didn't try, you know. We weren't putting our all into it at that point. But I wasn't sure I was pregnant or not at my wedding, so.
Could have been.
Yeah, could have been.
But you weren't.
I wasn't.
How soon after that did you get pregnant?
I got pregnant just a few months after that.
Were you putting your all into it?
That was putting our all into it. That was the second month of really trying was we got pregnant.
Calculating trying?
Yeah. Yeah. Like tracking my ovulation and.
Oh, really trying?
Yeah. Really trying. We really wanted to get going. Yeah. So that was just a few months after we got married and 2 months after we started trying.
How old were you then?
I was 26.
And still, your older sibling was 21 months older than you.
Correct. Yeah.
See how good I am with the math? Okay, 26. Good. Is that, in your area, is that a typical time for people to get married, or is that a little ahead of the curve?
No, that's early, for sure, okay. Over here. I'd say that the average is probably early 30s here.
Yeah, so probably somewhere around here. Okay, yeah. So both ahead of the curve, and did you feel it first, or did you test for it first?
No, I felt it. All the times I've been pregnant, I've known before I took a test, like very certain. My whole.
Is there like specific symptoms or just a gut feeling?
I always get really bloated, like almost immediately. And like, I just feel different. Like, I feel like I don't want to drink wine. I don't know. It just all sort of changes and I feel different. So I was pretty certain. And then I tested from almost the second that I ovulated to when I should have missed my period. And then it took like until about then to have a positive test, but probably took like 12 tests in between and it was finally positive.
Wow. After a few months of trying, you start buying them at Costco.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's an expensive journey if you buy enough pregnancy tests.
What was the feeling like when you got that positive?
We were so excited.
Did you see it together?
No, I saw it by myself actually. I was with my friends, actually, and my husband was out with his friends, and I didn't tell my friends, and then just went home, like, later that evening and told him, and we were just over the moon.
Wait, so you tested out with your friends?
I tested out with my friends because I went to the drugstore on my way to my friend's house, and I was like, I can't wait any longer. I'm sure that this is the time that I'll get the positive, so I don't know. I just did it.
You were all in.
Yeah.
All in. And then what was his expression when you told him? How did you tell him?
I just showed him the test. So we were sitting on the couch and I just pulled it out of my pocket and showed it to him. And just this very similar to mine. We were both just like, oh my goodness. Like, just so excited.
I guess whatever he was doing with his friends probably paled in comparison.
I'd say so.
So super ecstatic after a bit of time trying, obviously very, very, very eager to be pregnant and have a child, both of you, sounds like. But then that pregnancy did not carry through. Let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll find out what happened next. I have an incredible offer for you from my friends at Needed. An astounding 95% of women aren't meeting their omega-3 needs. Omega-3 fatty acids, especially DHA and EPA, are crucial for both mother and baby. They support brain and eye health, maternal mood, immunity, and much more. But it can be hard to get enough omega-3 from diet alone, especially during pregnancy when many people are averse to eating fish. And if you've ever taken a fish oil pill, you know just how unpleasant that can be. That's why I'm excited to share that my friends at Needed have revolutionized the omega-3 supplement with two different options designed specifically for mamas. An omega-3 powder that blends into smoothies and a pill option that tastes like fresh citrusy bergamot. Both are sustainably sourced from vegan algae, not fish. Both are great options for nausea and sensitive-prone mamas. Needed's omega-3 powder is delivered in liposomes, nature's very cool way of protecting and delivering omega-3, just like in breast milk. Needed's omega-3 is clinically proven to be 5 times better absorbed than fish oil pills. The powder is mild-tasting, and it pairs great with Needed's prenatal multi-powder and collagen protein powder in a daily smoothie. If powder isn't your thing, Needed's got you covered with those omega-3 plus capsules, which have a pleasant citrus flavor. Needed is sharing an awesome pre-order discount just for my listeners. Buy two, get one free on either omega-3 option, powder or capsules. You can stock up on either one or try them both with this exclusive discount. Use code 3BERLIN, the number 3BERLIN at thisisneeded.com. Put 3 omega-3s in your cart. Use the code number 3BERLIN at thisisneeded.com. Buy two, get one free. Welcome back to the podcast. We're talking to Stephanie Devlin all the way over there in British Columbia. Okay. And before the break, we got to the exciting part where you are pregnant and you share it with your husband and you're elated. Unfortunately, that pregnancy didn't work out. What happened?
So that pregnancy ended in an ectopic pregnancy, which was something I had never heard of before it happening to me. So it was quite shocking to me. I just was at work and all of a sudden started feeling like quite a lot of pain. And I thought, this is interesting. Maybe this is what implantation feels like or something like that. Cause I really had very little information. And
just so in case anybody listening doesn't know what it is, ectopic pregnancy is a pregnancy. An egg becomes fertilized, but it starts to develop outside the uterus, usually in a fallopian tube. So there is a baby that is growing. It's just not in a place where it can survive. And of course, you thought that was implantation, which could be exciting.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, well, yeah, I'm sure pregnancy isn't all comfortable. So maybe this pain is just implantation or something along those lines. So I called my husband and just said, like, I'm having some pain, but I don't think it's anything to like really worry about. And went home after work. And then like throughout the night, it just got really painful. And I wanted to go to the hospital and just check it out. And we got there and my HCG levels were very, very low. So it didn't seem like a pregnancy that was going to last, was what the nurses told me.
So that's your blood test.
Pregnancy, yeah, that was a blood test,
which is not just yes or no pregnant, but quantitative. It tells you if the pregnancy, on a chemical level, hormonal level, tells you if the pregnancy is growing according to plan and you were low. So something seemed off.
Yeah, it just seemed off and they did an ultrasound and it was so early that they were not wanting to give me really a yes or no of what was going on, but basically said they couldn't see anything in my uterus, but that maybe there would be soon. And so I went home still in so much pain. And the next day called my midwife and was like, I think something is wrong. Went back to the hospital and they found that it was in fact in my fallopian tube, or they think it was. They didn't actually ever fully see it, but they said, okay, we think that this is an ectopic pregnancy. So I took this little white pill and was supposed to, you know, try and force the forcet out of me to sort of force a miscarriage of sorts. And that didn't seem to help. And I kept having to go back for blood tests every 2 or 3 days to find where my HCG levels were. At this point, I'm starting to bleed. So I know that I'm miscarrying, but I had to go back for, it was probably 6 weeks-ish of blood tests every 2 or 3 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And the HCG levels would barely drop. So it would be like, I think I started around 900 and then it was like 880. Like it was like minuscule amounts. And it took so long, so long for me to get to zero, which was the goal, obviously, to know where the baby was and what was happening and make sure I was safe. But nothing ever like exploded in my fallopian tube or anything really scary like that. But it was such a long journey of like grief. Like I just wanted it to be over so bad.
I can't imagine every day. What was going on in your life at that time?
I was working my butt off at the restaurant. So I would leave at like noon, go up to get my blood test. And then we have this app where you can check your blood test results like throughout the day. And usually by the end of the day, they're there. So I would be like obsessively checking it while I'm at work. And yeah, like I was just so busy and it was just really sad. And it was just really hard to have it last for so long.
I'm sorry that you had that. And especially the prolonged element, and especially you wanted it so bad and were so excited and felt like you were on your way. And I think like most people have a first ectopic pregnancy, never heard of it, you know? So it's just a lot of learning and experiencing something that's really hard physically and emotionally. It can be very hard to get through.
Yeah.
And have to put on a happy face at the restaurant. I can't imagine.
Exactly.
Okay. So you get down to zero, and then were you given any advice on, you know, trying again, wait, go for it right away?
They said, wait for one normal cycle was what my doctor said at the time. So we did that. And then we started trying right away a second time.
So one cycle of wine.
Exactly. Yes. I got a few good glasses in there.
And then one cycle of back to the monitor.
Exactly. And we got pregnant the first try for the second pregnancy. So I was pregnant right away. Again, I knew immediately, almost like by the morning, I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm pregnant again. And yep, tested throughout that 2 week period as well. And finally got my positive. And again, we were very excited, but I was much more anxious this time, thinking like, okay, what's going to happen? And is this one going to be successful? But I was really trying to be positive, but it was just really difficult. So I was pregnant for 6 to 8 weeks. I forget the amount. It was somewhere around there. And then I went for an ultrasound because I was nervous. Like I just basically begged my midwives to let me get an ultrasound before I was supposed to. And they let me, and I got there and they said, there's no heartbeat. And I just was just so devastated. Just totally gutted.
I knew you were going to say that because I know the story, and it's still, my heart sank when you said it.
Yeah. It's just like the three words that they haunt me. There's no heartbeat. Like, it's just such a sad thing to hear.
Did you go because you felt like something was off, or you just needed to know because of what happened last time?
I just needed to know. I was so anxious, and like every day was hard. And I just wanted to see something that was certain. And I just wanted to see that heartbeat. I had already gone for a ultrasound at 6 weeks and there was a heartbeat. I went back, and it must have been more closer to like 9 or 10 weeks in reality. And that's when there was no heartbeat. So
this one was in your uterus.
Yeah.
And there was a heartbeat, and the beta HCGs were taken off the way they're supposed to, the blood test.
Yeah.
And are you 8 weeks in, 9 weeks in? It sounds like you're very anxious, which makes a lot of sense. But are you also like, oh, phew, we made it past?
Yeah, like there's like this website where you can track the days and find out what your percentage of miscarrying is at that point. And I was doing that like every day, like, okay, now it's like 88% that I won't miscarry. This is now it's 91% I won't miscarry. So yeah, it was devastating. I still think back to that moment in that room and I could just tear up. It's just, yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
In terms of the miscarriage itself, I mean, you saw no heartbeat, but do you wait for a miscarriage or do they induce a miscarriage? Were there options?
Yeah, there was options. So they asked me if I wanted to induce it with the little white pill. And I didn't want to initially. And I almost didn't believe them. I almost didn't believe that there wasn't a heartbeat. And I just wanted it to all happen naturally so that I was certain that I wasn't making it happen, sort of. Like, I know that sounds crazy because they're looking at an ultrasound. They can't see a heartbeat. But I was just like, no, I don't want to believe it. So I didn't do anything and just went home. And it was taking too long. And I ended up talking to my midwives and they offered the pill again. And I took it. And then the miscarriage started that night. And I just did it naturally at home in my shower. And yeah, it was graphic and sad and much more painful than I had anticipated.
Alone?
No, my husband was there. Actually, my husband was on a trip with his friends. And I called him, was like, you got to come home. This is much worse than I expected. And he drove through the night, got home at like 1 a.m. and I was lying in the bathtub with the shower on me. And yeah, it was something.
It's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
No, you say midwives a lot. Is that the typical in Vancouver and Canada in general, where you're generally under the care of midwives?
No, I don't know what the percentage is here, but a lot of people still go with an OBGYN. And a lot of people, especially in Vancouver, are sort of starting to go more towards the midwives, but there's still a lot of people that go through an OB.
Do you have a choice?
You have a choice, yeah. And they're both covered under our medical.
Okay. So one question before we move on. Did you have concerns, like, now it happened twice, so to speak? Is there something wrong? Am I doing something? Because that's what a lot of people express. But I don't know. For you, what was the thought process?
Yeah, I was definitely thinking that. I also was sort of like, I can't do this again for a while, because I had just been through it like twice so close. And I didn't want to start trying again for a while, because I felt like I needed to get some therapy and really like grieve the loss. And especially the one that was later on, I really felt like there was a baby in me and I was growing somebody. So I needed time and we took that.
Was there any suggestions from your midwives about testing or waiting?
No, neither of those things actually. They didn't seem concerned about infertility or anything like that at that point. I mean, I was, but at that point I was anxious about everything. So. Mm-hmm.
But also still fairly young.
Yeah, I was still 26.
Still 26.
Yeah, or I may have been 27 at that point, but yeah, I was still young.
When did you feel ready to try again?
I think we waited about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years. Yeah, so I really needed the time and my husband felt the same. We just felt like we needed to grieve the loss and wait until we really felt ready. And we did. We waited. I bought the restaurant during that time. And we actually set ourselves up really well. And we feel like maybe it was meant to be in the saddest way possible. But in the long run, our timing was much better when we had our successful pregnancy.
And it was both of you ready at the same time?
Yeah, it was definitely like, it was me that brought it up. Like, we were just kind of sitting on the couch one day and I was like, so what do you think? Do we start trying again? And he was like, yeah, like maybe we should start trying in a couple of months or something. And I was like, I'm ovulating. And he was like, well, okay, sure. What's the difference? And
wait, what were you doing to prevent pregnancy before that?
I haven't done much to prevent pregnancy for a very long time. I've tracked my cycles forever, basically since I started trying with the first miscarriage, and I'm just kind of careful with timing and, knock on wood, haven't had any issues.
Okay, so you really use your tracking. So when you want to get mm-hmm. pregnant, you track and plan that way. And when you want to not get pregnant, you track around it.
Exactly.
Okay, so that leaves you the spontaneity of saying, well, I'm ovulating.
Yeah, exactly. And we got pregnant after about 2 months.
So pretty quick.
Pretty quick, yeah.
I mean, in general, I don't know if that gave you any peace of mind, but it sounds like you're fertile. Like, it's not that.
Yeah, bad. I never had issues getting pregnant, for sure. That never stressed me out, but the stress was, yeah, keeping the baby.
Now, with 3 years down, are you still feeling the anxiety? Same thing? You felt like you were pregnant and you knew it right away and then five dozen pee tests?
No, this time I would not allow myself to do the tests until I was like missing my period. So I waited until the 2 weeks was over and then I took a test and it was immediately positive.
Oh, already different.
Yeah, it was different. It was different.
Anxiety level?
Top notch. 100%. 100% anxiety.
How is your anxiousness in general? Are you an anxious person or generally?
Not at all.
Right, you're Canadian.
Laid back. Yeah, totally. I'm very laid back. I feel like I deal with things being thrown at me pretty well. I run a restaurant, so I'm pretty good at, you know, thinking on my feet and not getting too stressed out. And pregnancy was different for that. I was anxious for my whole pregnancy with my first.
As one would be. Again, we have some parallels here. My wife and I struggled with fertility before we had our first baby and also had miscarriages. And yeah, with our first son that was born, I kept thinking, okay, it's going to calm down. Like we're past the first trimester, we're past the second trimester. It's all good. He's viable. He's almost due. And it's still, you don't believe it until you're holding them. And then maybe a month after that.
Totally. Yeah. 100%. So, I felt it the whole time.
Okay, so how was the first trimester for you in that pregnancy?
So I was physically pretty great. I had very little nausea. I mean, I didn't sleep well, but I think that was mostly based on being so anxious. Like I was constantly thinking about miscarrying again. And besides the anxiety, I'd say the first trimester was as easy as it could really be.
But in terms of like last time, you were like, I need to have ultrasounds. Did you push for that again?
No, I didn't. Like, I was trying to convince myself I wasn't anxious. Which
I got to try that.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of worked. Sometimes it convinced me that I wasn't. But no, I didn't push for anything. I did everything on their timeline and had an ultrasound at 8 weeks and everything looked good. And then another one at 12 weeks and everything still looked good. So at that point, my anxiety went down a tiny bit, but I wouldn't say it was gone by any means.
And when did you tell people?
So we started telling people right away, but only for a few very close people. I told 3 or 4 of my friends. My husband told a couple of his friends and we told our immediate family, but we didn't tell everybody until about 13 weeks.
Did those people in your inner circle know about the first two pregnancies?
They did. Like, basically, I only told the people that knew my whole journey that I was pregnant again. Also, honestly, I knew I needed the support if I did miscarry again. So I wanted those people to know the whole journey.
In terms of birth planning, did you have a specific idea of what you wanted from your birth in this pregnancy? And had it been something you thought about in the earlier pregnancies?
No, in the earlier pregnancies, I hadn't thought ahead really at all. With this pregnancy, I thought I had a great birth plan. But in hindsight, I don't feel that that was really true. But I had a doula. I had midwives. We have midwife teams here. I don't know if you guys have that, but we have about 5 midwives on a team. So I hired the team and a doula. And my plan was unmedicated, but in the hospital.
Okay. Did labor start spontaneously?
It did. Yeah. Started spontaneously. I was adamant not to get induced.
Were you near your due date or?
I was. Yeah. So they offered me the stretch and sweep a few days before my due date. And I said no to that.
Oh, you said no.
No, I wasn't interested. I wasn't over my due date. I didn't really understand why I needed to like push it faster. And my doula was kind of warning me about that as like, you don't really need to do that. But if it's something, you know, you want to push for, then go for it. But it wasn't something I felt I needed at the time. So I went into labor on my due date.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Very, very punctual children. Yeah, I went into labor on my due date, just started with contractions. It didn't start with my water breaking. I just started having surges. It went on for, I'll tell you, 48 hours in the end. But went to the hospital around like the 12-hour mark and they sent me home. They were like, oh, you're not even close. And I was like, what? Oh my goodness, this isn't close.
Oh, wow. So was it overwhelming in terms of each surge or just mentally overwhelming or?
Like the pain was pretty overwhelming. Also, honestly, it was mental too. Like I was in a lot of pain and then I thought I must be like 8 centimeters dilated. And then they checked me, which I also had told myself I wouldn't do. But then when they offered it at the hospital, I was like, oh, I really want to know. And so they checked me.
But then you didn't really want to
know. Yeah. And I did not want to know. I would have been correct. So they were like, yeah, you're about 2.5-3 centimeters dilated. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have to be kidding me.
Wow. They send you home and being in labor for that long and already 2.5 to 3.
Oh yeah. 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 They send you home.
I guess it's like a restaurant. Here. They need those tables.
They need the tables.
All right. Well, if you're going home, I'm taking a little break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll get the rest of the story. Welcome back. We're talking to Stephanie Devlin. And at this point, she's in labor for quite some time. It is physically intense. And she goes to the hospital only to be sent back home 2.5 to 3 centimeters and in a lot of discomfort. What happens next?
So I went home and I got in the bath and I just wanted to like focus on my surges and just be sort of alone. So I told my husband to go get some rest and I just lied in the bath and I just felt them. And at around the 25-hour mark, I thought, okay, this has to be intense enough to go to the hospital. So I woke up my husband, got him to call the midwife and say like, okay, we're going to go. She can barely talk. This has got to be it. So we meet her at the hospital. They do another check and I'm 7 centimeters dilated. So,
oh, that's better.
Yeah, it was so much better. I was so relieved. I was like ecstatic. I was like shouting and I was so excited that I was finally getting closer. So we get admitted, we get into the room and things start to like seriously slow down. Like I'm barely feeling any surges anymore. And in the bath, we have baths at the hospital as well that we can use. And so I'm in the bath and I'm not comfortable, but I can't talk. Like my voice was just not working. And so I was like, knowing I needed to get out of this bath, but I couldn't do it. And just ended up being in the bath with like almost no contractions for like 6 or 7 hours. So I'm at like 31 hours at this point and exhausted. And then everything starts to really pick up. And my midwife says, okay, I think like you're really getting there. And then things got so, so, so intense. Like I felt like my abdomen was being torn apart and the contractions were just so insane. And they had asked me probably without an exaggeration, like close to 10 times if I wanted an epidural. And around the 40-hour mark, they asked me one more time. And I was like, yes, I do. Okay, let's get me an epidural. So I got out of the bath and was sitting on the bed waiting for the anesthesiologist to come. And he finally gets there and puts it in. And I feel it in my toe, which was the weirdest feeling ever. So I'm like,
wait, you feel the numbness in your toe?
No, I just feel like, you know, when the doctor hits your knee with that
reflex hammer.
Yeah, with the reflex hammer, I felt like a reflex in my toe.
Oh, interesting.
And so I said like out loud, I was like, whoa, I felt that in my toe. And I just saw everybody look at each other and my doula's face like went white. I was like, what just happened? But then I immediately stopped feeling pain and I was like, oh. So I was kind of over the moon, to be honest, that I wasn't feeling this pain anymore. So I'm sitting up on the bed and they put it in. I feel it in my toe. And then I go completely numb from basically my neck down. And I lie back on the bed and think like, this seems a little weird, but there's no pain. So this is great. And I can't move anything once I lie down. Like I have a little bit of movement in my arms, but very, very little. And like, not strong enough to feel like I could actually do anything with them. And my legs cannot move at all. and my stomach, and I can't do anything. So I didn't know if this is just what an epidural was or not. And nobody was really saying anything. Everybody was just kind of like sidestepping. And I was like, oh, well, whatever, I'm not in pain. So everybody kind of left and said, why don't you take a nap? And so my husband and I both take a nap. And at about 47 hours, somebody comes back in, the doula and midwife comes back in, and my midwife checks me and says, okay, you're 9.5 centimeters. Let's start pushing. And I was like, okay. But like also knowing like, how am I going to push?
Because you still can't feel anything?
I can't feel anything. Like nothing. If somebody like punched me in the leg, I would have had no idea. And so I like sort of start pushing, but like I'm like pushing from my face. Like I have no idea what I'm doing. I can't feel anything in my abdomen. So I don't even know if the pushing's working. And eventually, after about an hour of this like fake pushing, they tell me, okay, we're going to have to do a C-section. And I was just gutted. I had put in at this point like almost 48 hours of labor and gotten an epidural, and now it was just all wasted.
But why a C-section at that moment? I mean,
the reason was because I couldn't push. So they could see the baby's head, but there was nothing I could do to make the baby move. And they were worried that we were getting to a point where the baby wasn't safe anymore. Oh. Basically.
And like shutting off the epidural wasn't an option?
They tried it. So basically what happened was that they gave me a spinal by accident instead of an epidural. So they put it in the wrong place.
Too deep.
And way too deep. Yeah. And so ultimately it couldn't really be turned off. Like I was just numb. So they rushed me and nothing was really rushed actually. They took me to get a C-section, took me into the room, and they didn't have to add anything to me to be numbed more because I was already completely numb. And I mean, at that point, I was just so happy that like I was about to meet my baby because it had been such a long road. And when they told me that in 15 minutes, I'd probably have my baby once they took me into the operating room. And I was just so relieved at that point and so tired. And it had been so long that I was like, okay, like, let's go. Let's get this baby out of me. I mean, they weren't wrong. They pulled me into this room and I probably had him on me 8 minutes later.
Whoa.
And yeah, they pulled him straight up. There's a picture of it where the surgeon's holding him straight up and I can see him over the curtain. And then they put him straight onto me. And at that point, I was just like so relieved and so happy that he was safe and he was out.
Oh, I,
yeah.
It's like the opposite feeling after everything you experienced in the
totally.
First two pregnancies.
Oh, exactly.
I feel chills, actually. Okay, how was recovery for you?
Honestly, I loved it. Like, I loved that I couldn't do anything for 2 weeks. Like, I couldn't get up to go clean the house. I couldn't go out and push the stroller. There was no pressure on, like, hey, get right back to what you were doing before, because I had just had surgery. So,
forced to take a little downtime.
It was great. Yeah. We were naked for about 2 weeks. My baby was just on me and we did so much skin to skin and I had so much time to figure out breastfeeding and yeah, there was no timeline on anything. So the healing went great. After about 2 weeks, I was going back on my walks and yeah, it all went pretty well.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to fast forward because of time, when you got pregnant again, was that planned?
That was planned as well. Yeah. So this time it was the first try, not the second try. But we decided we were ready to start trying for a second and got pregnant that month. So
how old was your first at that point?
My first was 3. Yeah, he had just turned 3.
And with that pregnancy, anxious, excited, a mix of both?
Much less anxious. Like, I would take it down 80%. Just really excited. And I had so many plans. Like the second I found out I was pregnant, actually right after I had my first, I got like sort of obsessed with birth. I was watching videos on Instagram and like talking to birth workers, and I just knew that my next birth was going to be different and would basically do anything to make that happen. And so as soon as I found out I was pregnant this time, I started started working.
Yeah, so what did you do differently?
So I had been going to Cairo, to the chiropractor, for that whole time in between the two, which I think has changed my whole body composition. And I went the whole time I was pregnant, which made me so much more comfortable while I was pregnant.
I'm gonna start believing in that.
I know, right? If I was in LA.
Come by anytime.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so I was going to chiropractor. I went to pelvic floor physio. And I really think that the main thing I did was listening to positive birth stories a lot on your podcast. I spent hours listening to stories on your podcast and like other podcasts and Instagram stories of just it going well to basically convince myself like it doesn't need to be like the last time.
And what was the vision for you as you got closer?
So my vision changed throughout. Initially, my husband was really nervous about a home birth. And so my first thought was home birth. Then when I brought it up with him, he was like, oh, I don't know. Like, it just seems scary. So I just kind of respected that at the time. I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll do a hospital birth, but I'm going to do it way differently and have, you know, so many more boundaries up. I'm not going to get any cervical checks. You know, I'm going to do this my way. I'm not going to be listening to nurses telling me to push, and I'm not going to be having them talk on the sidelines while I'm in the middle of a contraction. So that was my plan at the beginning.
And then what changed?
So I started going to these birth circles that my doula puts on, and they basically are just either pregnant people or newly postpartum people come and talk about birth and learn about positive stories that people have just had. So I kept just hearing these like amazing stories of people having their babies at home. So I sort of started to like dangle the idea again with my husband, like, what do you think? Do you think maybe we should give it a try? And he was so supportive and was just like, whatever you want. This is your body, your birth. I want you to be comfortable. So I went back and forth probably 3 or 4 times of like, no, actually, no, I just want to be in the hospital because what if something goes wrong and I've had a C-section and the midwives really try and scare you. Every time I went to my appointments, it depended on the midwife. I would have one midwife that was really pro home birth. And then the second one would be, I don't know if you, I had one actually say to me, if you were my daughter, I'd tell you not to. And that's the one that almost convinced me because she was the one that was at the birth for my son. And I loved her. She was the reason I went back to that midwifery clinic. So when she said that to me, I was like, oh, okay, maybe we don't again. And so I go back again, and then I go back to not doing it at home. And then at 38 weeks, I go to another birth circle, and I feel like quite confident that I'm going to change my mind and do it at home. So I talk to my husband. He's like, whatever you want.
Wow, that's getting close. Is it the same midwives that deliver at home or at the hospital?
It is, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's supposed to be anyways. Then I went to one more birth circle on my due date. So it was my actual due date and I wasn't in labor. So I was like, maybe I'll just go. And when I was there, one woman was giving her story of having her baby at home. And I was like, okay, I'm doing it. There's nothing that will stop me now. And about 7 hours later, that's when my home birth journey began.
Wow. Okay. So a different kind of roller coaster. How did the birth proceed?
So my husband and I got into bed like around 10, and I just said to him something along the lines of, well, I guess not today. And he said something funny and I laughed really hard. And then I thought I peed a little bit. I was like, oh my God, I think I'm losing control of my bladder already. And I think I just peed. And so I got up to go to the bathroom. And then as soon as I walked into the bathroom, the rest of my water broke. So it wasn't pee, it was my water.
Nice.
And yeah, so that's how this birth started, was with my water breaking. But with my first, it was 40 hours in that my water broke. So it started completely different, which felt really positive to me at the time. Like when the water broke to start it, I was like, okay, it's a different experience. I already feel like this is different. And I said to my husband, okay, let's just go to bed. We were so excited. We put on some music and like my husband was like running around cleaning up and whatever. And so I was like, no, we should go to bed. Like, let's just climb in bed and get a little bit of rest. And so we climb in bed and about 10 minutes later, I start like have a contraction and I'm like, okay, like that was definitely a contraction. So I tell my husband, like, why don't you go call your sister and your dad, let them know we might be having a baby tonight. Who knows? It could take 48 hours again, but I'm already feeling a lot of movement. So let's at least let them know. So he leaves the bedroom and I stay in bed and he's probably on the phone for like 10 minutes. And in that 10 minute span, I've had 3 contractions.
Oh, wow. Okay. And they're close.
They're close. And so I was like, there's no way. It's not going to be this fast. This is crazy. And so he comes back into the bedroom and I'm like, hey, I think things are moving pretty quick, but like, why don't you just get in? Let's see if we can sleep. And so he climbs into bed and like immediately I have another contraction and then like another one, maybe 2 minutes later. And I'm like, okay, I think we probably should call midwives and the doula. Like, I don't know, maybe it's premature, but this is feeling pretty intense. So he goes into the living room again, calls the midwives and the doula, and I move into the bath. I'm having like surge after surge. Like they're very close together. And I say to him, like, I don't want our son to hear this. Like it's making me feel like I'm not as comfortable. So he ends up taking our son, who at this point is in his bedroom, like right next to our bathroom, upstairs to where my sister-in-law lives, one floor above us in the apartment, which was very convenient.
Oh, convenient.
Yes. So she takes him upstairs, and in the span of him taking my son upstairs, I'm feeling like I can not talk. I'm really in it. And my midwife and doula show up around that point. And this is also when I found out that I was going to have a substitute midwife that I haven't
met. Not from your group?
No. So like 2 people were at other births and then 3 people were out of town. So I get this.
Okay. So somebody you've never met before.
Somebody I've never met before. And immediately I don't have a good connection with her, which was very stressful to me initially. So she's like coming in and she's like not telling me she's going to check the heartbeat. And she's just poking the Doppler into the bath. And I just was like, no, I need some space from you. And I was really stern with her and was just like, I want very little contact. And I don't really talk to people like that. Like I'm kind of a pleaser.
I'm getting chills again. I like this.
And I just was like, no, I don't want you doing this very often. And please ask, at least. So she leaves. And my doula and my husband come back into the bathroom. And this is probably like maybe 2 hours into my labor at this point. And it's intense. Like, again, I feel like my abdomen is like tearing apart. But I'm also at the same time, I'm so happy for all these feelings. Like every surge I got, I was like, I just kept telling myself the same mantra that I told myself to do. And I was like, every surge gets me closer to meeting my baby. All this pain is to meet her. And that totally changed my whole mind frame. And like everything just kept going so smoothly. And I got out of the bath, went into my bed and lied there for quite a while and had maybe like another 2 hours of contractions. Everything feeling very normal and safe. And my doula kept saying to me, like, you're safe. This is all right. Like everything that's happening is you're doing great. And I needed to hear those words. Like they all sounded so kind of standard to me, but they were exactly what I needed to hear. I needed to know that what I was doing was the right thing. So like my midwife kept trying to come into the room and do cervical checks or check the heartbeat. And every once in a while, I'd let her check the heartbeat, but I had no interest in the cervical checks. And that was, I think, really positive for me in this birth. So I was in my bed, and then I just got this really strong urge to stand up. So my husband was standing beside the bed, and I was like, oh, you have to move, like move, move. And I stood up, and I just started pushing. Like, I had no idea that this is how it worked. I didn't know that my body was going to physiologically push the baby out. Like, I couldn't stop it. I had at one point the midwife come in and be like, I'd like to check your cervix to make sure that you're ready to push. And I was just like, I like yelled at her, there's no way I could stop pushing, and closed the door to the bedroom. Like locked the midwife out. I didn't want her there. And it was just my husband and my doula and me in the bedroom. And my doula was so in the background. She did such a great job of making me feel confident and strong, but with zero interference. She wasn't birthing my baby. She just kept being like, you're doing this. This is you. And I pushed for probably around 2 hours. It was pretty long. Actually, I don't know if that's long in the grand scheme of things, but it felt long at the time.
But you started pushing standing up.
No, actually, the pushing reflex started when I was still lying down. But then when I stood up, it got really intense.
Did you move into other positions?
No, I got up from the bed, and it was almost like somebody moved my body. Like, there was no stopping it. My body was just like, you need to be up, and you need to be like bracing yourself on the bed. And so I stood up, and I put my hands on like the side of my bed, and I was probably there for like another maybe half hour-ish pushing. And then the midwife came in and said, like, you've been pushing for too long. And I was like, what? And my body at that point was like a shield. Like, I could barely even hear her. I just knew that I was doing this, and there was nothing somebody else could do to change how it was going to play out. So like, I kind of heard her and like just waved my hand behind me and was like, ah, go away. And she was like, can you feel the head? And I actually hadn't put my hand down there to see if I could feel the head. So I did. And I was like, yes, yes, the baby's here. So yeah, her head had crowned, and I was feeling the hair on the top of her head. And at that point, I started talking to her. I'm not a very like spiritual kind of person, but I felt like we were the same person. And I just was like, okay, like in the next push, we're going to meet each other, and I can't wait to meet you. And we have this huge life ahead of us. Like, it was just this crazy experience where I just felt like she was listening to me. And that push, she didn't come out. And I was like, it's okay. It's okay. Like, neither of us were ready. I wasn't ready either. Like, let's do it on this push. And we did. And I pushed her head out, and I could not believe it. Like, it was just the most powerful feeling I've ever felt in my life. Like, I could feel her full head outside of me, and my husband's hands were around my hands holding onto her head. Then I just sat there in silence for probably another 2 minutes with her head out. And then one more push, the rest of her body came out, and my husband caught her and passed her up to me. And I just felt like such a badass. Like, I was like, I cannot believe I've done this.
I don't know if you're just an amazing storyteller, but you've gotten me emotional 3 times.
Aww.
In one podcast. I feel now tears of joy for you and triumph, kind of like what I would feel at birth when I attended birth for several years, you know, just that feeling for you.
Total just, euphoria.
Yeah, total euphoria. And just a little taste of that is just, I don't know, it's very powerful. Okay, I'm going to go home and process this episode. God bless you. And I don't know if I could have done any of the things that you did. Honestly, and have such a great disposition about it is inspiring and powerful and sometimes hard to share. And I thank you very much for joining me and sharing it all with me and with our audience. Stephanie, where can we find you online?
My Instagram is StephDev with 2 V's.
Ooh, was StephDev with 1 V already taken?
It was. It sure was.
All right. Make sure you go for that extra V.
Thank you.
Thank you again so much for joining me. And at home, thanks for listening to the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. For more pregnancy and parenting information, visit us online at informedpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a